Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, October 17th, 2022. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I'm going to share just a few helpful tips. For people joining via phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you'd like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone joining through video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under reactions, click on the raise hand icon that will raise or lower the virtual hands. We share this information because if anybody wants to make comments, it helps us in knowing if somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. You also know that we have ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request anyone, when you make comments, please state your name. This helps them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is at that time. I just want to remind everyone who would like to make comments during public comment section or otherwise. We try to allot 3 minutes for each speaker. I would try to give 30 seconds advance notice to alert you that your 33 minutes are coming up but sometimes that doesn't work out because I don't like to interrupt anyone speaking. But at the end of 3 minutes, you would hear a sound alerting you that time has ended. We practice this to make sure that anybody who is trying to make comments gets an opportunity to do so. If we have any time remaining and if a person wants to make additional comments, we'll come back to you. So thank you for your understanding. For public comments, I would share more information how people can provide their public comments to us before and after, or even during the meeting. Chair Semaphore, if you prefer, I can read the agenda out loud at this point, and then I can take the roll call.
Sure, you go right ahead to do both.
Okay, thank you. I would take a quick second to share my screen so that I can have the agenda on my screen. For anyone who would like to see that. I believe my screen is visible now. Okay. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the AAC roll call. After that, Chair Semaphore will go through the motion of reviewing and approving of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will go through the customer service report as well as the commendations report. At 4:15, we have the Michael Wilson Award as well as the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:25, Tarian Williams Hall will give an update about Metro Access Vehicle Global Positioning System. At 4:45, Mr. Blake will give us an update about Metro Access New Vehicle Procurement. At 4:50, Mr. Blake will also give information about Metro Access Service Area as it relates to Silver Line Phase 2. At 5:15, we have a topic for where is my ride response time discussion. At 5:25, we have another topic for discussion from Metro Access Customer Guide, driver assistance with customers. At 5:35, we have the public comment period, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. Now I would stop sharing my screen and would go through the roll call. All the AAC members who are present, please confirm your attendance. Azar Atura. Darnese Bush.
Present.
Thank you. Tino Calabia. Vanessa Coles.
Yeah, Tino is talking, but he's muted. So he's here.
I thought I had seen him. Thank you. Rico Dancy. Rico is on the call with us. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simonow. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Semaphore, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All righty. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Metro Access meeting. And right now, we are going to do review and approval of the meeting agenda and prior meeting minutes. With the agenda, are there any additions on this fully packed agenda? If I don't see any motions or whatever, I need a motion for someone to approve the agenda as is.
So,
this
is Ms. Rush. The agenda doesn't include talking about the elections at all.
That will be done at the AAC.
Well, okay. That's
yeah. Mr. Chair.
Okay. Yes.
Along with Denise, this is Phil Posner for the interpreters. Along with Denise, we might want to give a minute to talk about the email she sent out about the election, because that went out this afternoon and some people may not know what happened. So I would suggest adding a minute.
All right.
During public comment period.
I will add that as part of public comment period for any member that want to discuss it, that's Denise or Anu. I will do it there. All right. All right. So we will, so that'll be in the public comment. So can I get a motion to move this agenda as is?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. Okay, motion carries. Next is the meeting minutes of the prior month. Are there any changes, objections, additions, subtractions? Here in the cricket. Go ahead.
This is Sandy. On page three, the comment that I was making left out or didn't emphasize that I was complimenting Metro on their new digital signage on the platforms, but I was questioning whether there could be enhanced contrast in the digital signs within the Metro cars. That got left out.
Okay, and this was at the Metro Access meeting, right?
That's in the minutes for the Metro Access meeting for September, whatever.
Okay.
It was the MAS meeting minutes that I was reading.
Oh, okay. All right. So we will add that in, get with Anu to do that. So I just need a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Yes, this is Sandy. Make a motion.
Okay. All those in favor with the minutes with its amendment with Sandy, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, aye. The motion's carried. Next is customer service report, followed by the combination report.
Good afternoon. Again, my name is Allison Anderson. I'm an operations manager with Metro Access. It's my pleasure to introduce Kay Clark, who is with MTM, who will provide the public or the report on the public comments from our last session. Kay?
Thank you. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Allison, and good afternoon, everyone. So for the last two meetings, we actually did have one comment that came across that we needed to address today. From the AAC meeting, there was not a public comment to be addressed. However, on the subcommittee, there was one. The first one goes, the AAC member complained that she had a trip that ran late on Saturday, September 17th. When she called, "Where's my ride?" she was given an ETA of 15 minutes. When she called at the end of that period, she was given another ETA of 15 minutes. The AAC member stated the vehicle arrived almost an hour late. She also stated that since she was picked up so late, the vehicle operator suggested she call in to have her next trip rescheduled for a later time. When she did so, she was on the phone for over 30 minutes. The AAC member mentioned on another occasion, she had a trip from the casino where she was informed the operator had come and left. She had to wait 2 hours for another vehicle to be sent. Mr. Blake, Managing Director of Access Services, stated that an investigation will be conducted to determine the cause of the reported service failures. Upon investigation of the first reported incident, the original route the AAC member's trip was placed on had to be taken out of service due to an onboard computer malfunction. Her trip was not rescheduled onto another route until the customer trip arrival inquiry, which led to the delay. Additionally, upon effort to reschedule the return trip, the investigation confirmed the Where's My Ride agent left the call on hold multiple times and for significant time spans while trying to address the request. The Metro Access Operations Call Center contractor has been given investigation findings to proceed with corrective actions to address. Upon investigation for a second reported incident, a vehicle arrived at the casino location to pick up the AAC member. However, the AAC member was at one entrance and the vehicle at another. The no-show process was found to not be administered per policy, and the investigation found no phone call to the contact number on the trip booking was placed. The Metro Access Operations Call Center contractor has been given investigation findings to proceed with corrective actions to address. And that does conclude my report for the investigation for the comments, but I also will be providing the commendation report for the months of July, August, and September. In July, a total of 283 commendations were reported, August 357, and September 365. And I'll also provide them individually by provider. So First Transit received in July 49, in August 84, and in September 85. TransDev received 47 in July, August 58, and then 79 in September. The MVOCC received 72 in July, 75 in August, and September 54. Challenger received 36 in July, August 49, and September 47. Next Transportation received 70 in July, 82 in August, and 93 in September. MTM received 1 in July and 1 in August. Eligibility received 2 in August and 3 in September. And lastly, Abilities Ride received 8 in July, August 6, and then September 4. And this concludes my report for the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you so much. All right. Next on the agenda we have right here is the Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. I understand with last, because of the GM had to come speak during the Metro Access meeting, we did not do that because there were other topics of concern that had to be addressed once that was over for the hour. So if you have a recipient for both this month and last month, you may go ahead with both of them.
Thank you. We do have a recipient for this month. And I would like to present Ebony Gamble, Customer Service Manager with First Transit. Ebony?
Hi, yes. How are you all today? I hope all is well. So today we're going to be submitting the safety awards to Ms. Roberta Smith. She joined the Metro SS family in July of 2013. She is a stellar professional operator who is also a cadet trainer. She not only believes in maintaining a safe mindset, but her actions echo such. She demonstrates confidence and value of taking preventive measures to ensure that all of our customers are safely transported and ensure that all of our cadet trainers eventually become operators who also transport our customers safely. So we appreciate you and we thank you for all of your hard work and dedication. We also have an award to present to her, a plaque to present to her, just to show our gratitude for all that she does for First Transit. Up next is Mr. Gregory Johnson. Mr. Johnson joined Metro SS in April of 2017. He has been selected for the Michael Wilson recipients. Mr. Johnson is also able, he was an operator. He joined in 2017, but in January of 2020, he actually became a road supervisor. He is committed to serving the community and believes in a greater purpose. And that purpose for him is serving our customers. In addition to that, he also shared that his brother, who he cared for, has MS. So it's personal for him. And I just thank him for bringing that kind of attitude towards First Transit to First Transit and just trickling it down to all of our cadets, operators, even our managers. He's an awesome professional as road supervisor of whom we adore here at First Transit. I just want to thank you for always striving for excellence. And we also have a plaque for Mr. Gregory Johnson. So thank you. Is there anything that you all want to say?
Thank you.
All right, Oh, last thing. It was a very interesting point. Ms. Smith actually trained Mr. Johnson. So I think that's an awesome fact. Ms. Smith actually trained Mr. Johnson. I have them both in my office, so that's great. That's all.
All right. Thank you so much, Ebony. And again, congratulations to both recipients. I'm sure well-deserved. And we do appreciate all that you do for the service and serving our customers. So back to you, Mr. Semaphore.
Thank you to the award recipient. Next, we are going to discuss, I have multiple screens on, there we go, with Ms. Williams-Hall about the Metro Access Vehicle Global Positioning Update in terms, I guess, of our new GPS, what is it, Garmin devices are you discussing, or the ones that were already purchased and the status of that?
Yes. So good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much, Mr. Semaphore. So again, this is Terrian Williams-Hall, Director for Metro Access Service. And I am very pleased to announce that we are about to begin installation of our Garmin devices in all of our vehicles. We fully expect to have the entire fleet fully outfitted by the end of December, if not before then. What the customers can expect now is real-time traffic information reflecting what's actually going on in the area that provides the operator with an opportunity to change routes based on traffic conditions. So our first vehicles will be installed by the end of this month, and we'll be done with the entire fleet by the end of December. be happy to address any questions.
I think we are so excited finally in the DMV, yes. Especially now that traffic is back in full force, that the driver will have options of hopefully, similar to Waze, because that's what it is, to get around, the traffic, to get from customer to customer in an efficient way.
Yes, we're very excited about it. We did detailed testing for over a year or so. All of the feedback has been very, very positive. So we are confident that it's going to go a long way to improve the customer's ride experience.
All right. And with that, any committee members' questions they have of Ms. Williams-Hall about this?
Chair Samford, this is Anu. I do not see any hands up at this point.
I'm in shock. I guess we're waiting to see when they're...
Okay.
Happened. I know I was part of that, and several other customers were part of that test phase where they were in the vehicles, and it was, very promising with the vehicles that are being tried out, how they were able that summer to be able to get from place to place. So this will just be an extension device that's already in the vehicle, if I'm correct, just from what I saw, and the driver is able to input the address that's already on the Ranger.
Yeah, the driver would. This device will be mounted in the vehicle. The driver would, between each trip, enter in his next vehicle address, and then will follow the directions from that device and not the Ranger, which does not reflect real-time traffic conditions.
And also what I saw, at least when I was there with the drivers that were testing both of them, if they have, they pull up the trip profile information, like say, for instance, it says George, Washington Hospital Center, they're able to put that name in along, like similar you would do at Uber, the address where it can geocode it, fine tune it with geocoding and finding the location. Is that correct?
That is correct. They do use common names.
Cheers, Amakul. You're on mute.
All right. Sorry, Phil, I see your hand.
Yes, since Patrick isn't here, the question is, can the new device be tied into the Where's My Ride Center so that when a call comes to Where's My Ride, they can click into that particular device and find out exactly where the vehicle is?
Would love to, Dr. Posner, tell you that capability is available with our new Garmin devices, but it is not, unfortunately, integrated that way. But the good news is we are making tremendous strides with providing more accurate real-time information that reflects the real-time traffic conditions with regard to Where's My Ride. And I see that Mr. Blake's hand is here, so I'm sure he'd like to elaborate on that, sir.
Go ahead, Mr. Blake. You can go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Okay, so it seems like he's having some technical issue with the audio.
Are there any other comments from any other committee members about this as we are now moving forward of managing to get around efficiently with riders from trip to trip?
This is Anu again. I see no one else's hands up.
Okay. I don't want to go on to the same.
Chair Samford, since Mr. Blake was trying to make some comments, we can perhaps come back to him when he is connected again.
Okay, so I'm going to move on with the agenda then, and then we can circle back to him for his comment. We need him for the procurement update. Because he is the next two comments. let's see where I can jump to where. Oh, okay. We're going to jump down to Where's My Ride response time discussion. At least I can start that with Ms. Williams-Hall.
Yes.
And Ms. Anderson. And then we'll jump back to the others when Mr. Blake is present. So I think I already explained to management, we went through this topic last month. I see with at least Where's My Ride at in August of this year, of course, things changed. It was at 74% in terms of response rate. And then for the most part, when I've called in, you know, they're quick to respond. But I described this Saturday evening experience where it took me almost 35 minutes just to finally, after the trip has expired, to get to someone to, offer a different type of alternative travel arrangement, we shall say Uber, because the provider called me, which was the taxi company, halfway. I'm on this long hole of 15 minutes the first time. And then, you know, I had to take the call from Old Dominion and then get back on the phone another 10 minutes, then get back. Then I finally reach an agent who puts me on another 10-minute hold to speak to the supervisor when I explain the situation that this needs to be changed to Uber. Now, I know a supervisor is the only one that can do it, but there have been cases in which even in the evening or even during the day, there were other staff available that can do the Uber. Is there a way to help, get this process moving? If it's going to, first of all, why the long wait hold? Because I was surprised about that.
So thank you so much for that question. Okay. Mr. Blake, is that you?
They can hear me now. I'm sorry. I'm having this computer issue in the office. So I was just going to say first, let's hold off. I'm actually going to give you all a demonstration of our new Where's My Ride app, for the lack of a better phrase. Hey, well, calm down. Let's just don't get too excited yet. I want to show you what we're talking about. And then that's, Ms. Rush always says I have an August surprise. I don't think we really had one, but if you know politics, you've heard of the October surprise, and that's what we're trying to give you tonight. In terms of the call center, this has been in cycles. They've been up and down. They've been primarily good the last several months, but then they slipped up a bit. The numbers have shown marked improvements over the months, previously that we've talked about, but there are still a few challenges. But generally speaking, again, most of this month, every day has been over 95%, and there have been like 3 or 4 days that have just been below the 95% number. So they're improving, but what you're talking about, and I totally get it. So I'm not dismissing your point, because when it's bad, it's bad. And it could be a good day, but a really bad hour or two. And when it's bad, it can be bad. So you may have noticed that when we see early on that they may struggle, even before they start struggling, one of the things we do is on the reservation side, say to customers, go ahead and be aware that we're going to have same day trips tomorrow, because we know that you may have trouble booking your trip. And on the Where's My Ride side, we, as management, we're constantly challenging the call center to get support from either current employees locally to work overtime, which we don't want to necessarily push them to do, but also get support from some of their colleagues around the country who are in different time zones, and they're in the slow hours and can help support us during our afternoon peak hours.
All right, because this happened on a Saturday night, and I was like, wow.
and I get you, and a Saturday night is not peak in terms of ridership, but it's a challenge for some of their employees, because people call out or they need to leave early because they heard that the kitty cat is missing them. And I'm trying not to be too down about it. But no, I do understand your point. And the other thing some management has done, I don't do it regularly, but I always encourage the team to let me know when they need some support. And customers do call me. I haven't heard too many calls or texts from you, except that I think that's the call you're speaking of right now.
Yeah, I mean, that was an extreme example.
Yes, indeed. And you shouldn't have had to go through that. And I know your experience, like we used to say on talk radio, one caller represents hundreds of other people. And I always tell that to the call center. If I'm sitting somewhere at dinner, at lunch, on the beach, and I'm getting 3 and 4 calls from customers who happen to know my number, that tells me that there's a problem going on in the call center and they need to get there, because these few calls who know my number represent hundreds probably of other customers, dozens of them, who are experiencing the same thing but just happen not to know my phone number. And that gives me an insight, even when I'm not at the office, of when the OCC is doing well and when they're not.
All right. Any questions from any of the committee members about this specific topic before we go jump back early into the agenda? Do you see any hands, Anu? Okay.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute.
I was saying, is there any hands of anyone that had questions about this specific topic before I jump back to the other one, in which I know Mr. Blake had a question about? Respond to?
This is Anu, Chair Summerford. I do not see anybody's hands up at this point.
All right, so Mr. Blake, okay, if not, we will visit this again and see. We hope, you know, there's been some improvement, but and like you said, it ups and downs, and hopefully it will improve over time. So we're jumping back now to the global positioning discussion. You had a comment about that before we do, because the rest of our discussions are with, ride with you.
Right. And so I'm going to attempt to share my screen. So now I need you to allow me to share my screen. And if this doesn't work right here, we'll do it on the back end. So just a brief background. As you all know, and you've been asking for it, and rightfully so, and you keep hearing us talk about, hey, we want to give you an app and we want to give you real-time information, but we have to go to solicitation. We have to do this. We have to do that. You've heard our challenges. Well, we think we've now found a solution that we believe is going to work. We've tried to remember the phone calls that became a disaster, in a sense. And Paul would call me at 12 in the morning because he just received his pickup trip that's not until 11 o'clock that morning. You know, and it just didn't work out. We believe we found a solution working with a partner company. And I can tell you right now, it seems to be working great as I tested. But now what we want to do is be able to allow the customers to have the direct access to this information. And where we're starting off with would be Metro Access trips. But then we're going to go and expand it to customers who are using any of the taxis that are on Abilities Ride, would be able to just type their name or their ID number and see where the taxi is located, just like they would be able to determine where the Metro Access vehicle is located. Now, one disclaimer, this won't include Uber, because as we book Uber trips, we do not use a customer's ID number for those trips, and the Uber trips automatically go to a website.
And it's so my understanding that with Old Dominion, when they send me trips, they already send me a link so I can track the vehicle.
Right. And so and others are doing that as well. And some people with the taxis, they've been a little different. But again, the taxis do provide the same link, but the difference is, unlike with the taxis, with Uber, you have to click the link to actually send a trip to pick you up. Mm-hmm. Whereas the taxis are sending you the trip and then sending you the link to track the trip. But it's the same sort of feature. And one other thing is, like we've done with the Uber, if you notice, we don't use the Uber app. Not that we couldn't, but we don't use the Uber app. We use the accessible websites and browsers that each customer chooses to use for him or herself, and a lot of text. And that's what we want to start with in this as well. This will not be an app you download from the App Store, but you will be using it on your browser of choice, on your phone or your computer. So let me try real quick to share now. Well, I'm going to have to be real quick because unfortunately we don't have any Metro Access Subcommittee members who are taking a trip right now on Metro Access. So I'm just going to pull a trip that's live right now just to quickly demonstrate. But because we're utilizing real people, we need to be careful and move this quickly. So let me find it here.
Mr. Blake, you should be able to share your screen.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to be real quick. And what I'm describing here is called, do customers and members visualize the words Power Apps and Find a Ride? Is it on the screen?
I can see it.
You all see it. Okay.
So yeah, I see it.
This is the app here. It's called Find a Ride, and it's by the contractor that is running our call center. It's MV, and we won't use the word partnering with them, but we're working with them to help identify a solution that can work for each customer. So what we have right now is a space for the date, from date to to date. If there's no trip for you imminent, you won't see anything when you type your ID number in this box. And the box says client ID, first name, or last name. So you can do it by either your ID, your first name, or your last name. So I'm just going to type three numbers to try to find some trips here. So that's four. So here, I just typed in 168, and then I found several trips here. Here's a trip that has already been picked up and left, and they show that it was picked up within the pickup window, and it says it's departed. Here's a trip that's actually late, so we're not trying to make this look like it's perfect, but they're showing you that this trip is late, so this trip could get moved to an Uber if they want it. Here's a trip that is on its way as well, and it's within the window. But let's say this was just you. If you put your own information, you're only going to see your trip. And what you would see when you click on it is here's the map. Now, this map is not as dynamic as the Uber where it's the vehicle is moving, but every time you update it, you will see the new location of where the vehicle is located. Gives you the vehicle number, the estimated time away, 4 minutes, and it shows you their information. It even gives you the conditions of the traffic. It says mild traffic. You're located here, you know, on this pickup spot. The vehicle is where the vehicle will be located. So what I'm describing here on the right side of the screen is a map. Shows the icon of the vehicle. It shows the direction and the mapping of the path of travel, where the vehicle is currently located to where it's going. Pickup address, drop-off address, the vehicle number, and the estimated arrival time and how many minutes away. And it's been very accurate, and I could do this with other customers. I just clicked to another customer showing where the vehicle was located, where they picked the customer up, and it says that the customer's already departed, but it gives me the information that the customer was picked up on time. And it shows the pickup address, the drop-off address, and the vehicle number. So, and I just want to take that down because, again, that's personal information. But what we're talking about here is what, in my opinion, what the AAC has been asking for and deserves. And that's the ability of a customer to use their personal computer or their cell phone, go to a web page on their browser of choice, type in their name or their ID number, and get a very accurate location of the vehicle that's coming to pick them up and a very accurate estimation of how long would it be before you're picked up.
Oh.
So that's our efforts. And so right now I use it. I mean, Ms. Rush had a trip and I was following it, and another customer called me. I was able to follow it, and when I saw that when the customer called me, their trip was within the pickup window, so I couldn't give them Uber. I said, you got to call the call center. A few minutes later, the app updated and showed that the customer's trip was going to actually be late, So I had the call center call that customer back and ask them, would they still like the Uber trip? Of course, they said yes, but it was within the rules that once your trip is projected to be late or is late, if you wish to have it moved to Uber or another service, you can, and that's what we did. And we found that it's been very accurate, much more than any effort we've had in the past. So what we're going to do next, the next step is we're going to try to find 20 customers. And I know you, Mr. Chairman, are going to be one of them. But we want to find 20 customers and almost immediately, like maybe as soon as tomorrow.
Yes.
Get access to this and be able to now use your phone to see where your vehicle is located. Where's my ride? For real. Not 10 minutes, you know, when you call the OCC, rather the vehicle is 2 days away from you or around the corner, it was always 10 minutes.
I'll be more than happy to test. Like I said, I've been using it for at least 3 years in New York City, and it is a very powerful and useful tool. I will let you know very quickly if there are any bugs in it, because I guess I'm the person when the technology comes out through Metro Access, I can spot something quickly and let y'all know so you can tweak it. With that, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I see two hands up. Patiently, I see Doris had her hand up first and then go with Sandy and then with whoever else Manu has. Doris followed by Sandy. And Manu, start the clock.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was on. I just wanted to ask first whether you tell us, Mr. Blake, how this platform or whatever is going to work for blind customers who are trying to find out, you know, where's my vehicle and all the information you just described. And then I have a question for Paul. I was just wondering, when you had the problem about being put on hold, was that an abilities ride call, and was it specifically, I want to know, was it on Old Dominion?
So let me be clear about that. So I was calling the call center that Friday evening, and I was on hold with the call center the first time for the 15 minutes. Then Old Dominion called me during that call, so I had to stop that and address them about their, you know, they said, well, we are still looking for a driver for you, even though the window is over by 15 minutes. And do you want to still want the ride? And I said, yes, to keep all options open. Then I tried to call the call center back. The second time I was on hold for 10 minutes with an agent until I reached one. And so this is with the call center. And then when they put me to a manager to switch the current provider to an Uber, that was another 10-minute hold.
But it was not an after hours call where you had to. It wasn't Old Dominion that put you on hold, right?
No, it was Old Dominion. It just happened to be it. Old Dominion as the provider, but it wasn't with the provider itself. It was me needing to change.
But it wasn't their call center.
It wasn't their call center. I just wanted to be clear with that.
Yeah, no. The reason I wanted to know is because in the regular taxi business out here, Old Dominion, which is many companies put together into one, in a corporate name. So the thing is that these days, for regular taxi riders who are not going through a third party, there are great waits for, and so I was trying to find out whether it was part of that, because we're looking at the hacker commissions about that.
And I think you had a second piece of the second part of your question for Mr. Blake to respond to.
Yes, she was. Doris was asking about people with visual disabilities and using this. And this is one of the reasons we've been supporting the use of web browsers and the web browser of choice of independent of each individual customer. Some customers like Edge, some like Firefox, some like, what is the other one, Chrome. So this is a browser-based solution, much like our Uber and other initiatives. Therefore, as you use your browser on a regular basis for all sorts of things, this website is browser, and this app, if you will be browser-based as well, so that your personal independent ability to use a website to navigate and gather information will be enhanced, or the ability to use this is enhanced by your choice of browser and your experience of using web browsers.
But the reason I'm asking is, what I'm asking basically is, you described there's a map there and you can see the vehicle and all of that. What I want to know is there audio that gives you all that information that the sighted patron will
The text-based information, yes. The map at this point is not a dynamic map, so there's no audio to it anyway. So it's not going to say on Pennsylvania Avenue heading north, making a left turn. The map is a static map at the time you refresh the browser. But the text-based information, i.e. 17 minutes from the pickup time, pickup address, drop-off address, that information will be audio, and if there's an issue, if there's a challenge, that's why we're running this test with people, and we're with our test group before we really expand it. But any text-based information, much like we're doing with Uber, any text-based information, your web browser should read it aloud.
Right. Do need other people at hand. So Sandy is next, followed by Pat Sheehan.
Hi, this is Sandy. Doris covered half of what I wanted to know about the people who can't see the screen at all for this app. And I'm going to ask the other half of the question for the people who are low vision and do use their eyes. I use my eyes to follow my Uber rides on my phone. But while you were giving us that quick picture, Christian, that I was looking at like my 23-inch computer screen, and I was having a very hard time reading the text. So I would like to step up to volunteer to use this app with my Google Chrome on my Android phone and see how well it works for a person like myself who's low vision. But I'm out of town, so I can't really test it for another week or so.
No problem. We'll add you. And keep in mind, yeah, I was sharing my screen through Zoom. So the image on Zoom generally, because I haven't learned yet how to keep making these things bigger and larger, but generally when you're sharing your screen through these video conferencing apps, what you're seeing on the screen is much smaller than what you'll have access to on your own personal device. So, but we do look forward to hearing your feedback on size of the text that you'll be seeing. But I know on my phone, when I use the app, I just use the two-finger pinch, and you can expand the screen.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you. Pat Sheehan, I know he's going to have comments.
Yes, you knew I was. And Phil, thank you earlier for talking, since I actually was listening, but I couldn't come off mute, so I've been here the whole time. You can mark me as present, Anu. I had a couple of questions. I don't know if we can go back or not. I was a little confused about the integration between Garmin and the Ranger. I'm not sure what we're looking at or what we're listening to. I know we're saying that we're using the Garmin to give us the accurate GPS information, but are we going to are the drivers going to ignore what used to come over the Ranger? Or I'm not quite sure about that.
So what my understanding is, when I talked to Ms. Williams-Hall, and of course she can interject, is right. that because I went through the testing phase with these drivers last summer, was that with the optional device that will be mounted in between trips, they will be allowed, if they choose to do so, put in the address to get the directions from this installed device, or they can type in the name of the location if that's part of, you know, the trip information to get a more precise.
Let me ask my question in a better way.
Okay.
So where are the driving instructions going to come from? Will they come from the old Ranger unit or from the new Garmin unit?
They're coming from the Garmin. Vehicles with the Garmin devices the driving directions are being provided exclusively by the Garmin devices. And what Ms. Williams Hall was talking about was our initiative to fully outfit the fleet with Garmins. Right now, there are a handful of vehicles with Garmins as we were testing them, because the Garmin devices we're using are utilizing a technology, not cellular, but high definition radio signals to provide us the real time traffic information. So we went through an extensive testing process, but if the vehicle has a Garmin device, that is the device that is providing the turn by turn directions, not the Ranger.
Patrick, you're on mute, if you're speaking.
Does that satisfy your answer, Patrick?
He's on mute right now.
All right. I'll hopefully get back to him. Any other hands as it new that you see in terms of this discussion?
Chair Samford, there are no other hands up at this point.
Oh, okay. So we are very excited, Mr. Blake, as you get your first 20 people together. And of course, I'll be happy to be on that list and test as early as tomorrow, if that's available, doing the wonderful trial period before it goes out, and give you hopefully myself and everyone else that's part of this trial team can give you ample and qualitative feedback to make adjustments with whoever the vendor is to make it accessible and useful to other passengers. And I think that will also help if this works out long term as a solution to the calls to the call center about where's my ride, because the passengers is empowered, those who have it, that technology can do it, and that leaves the call center for the passengers who may not be able to access or fully use this to call the call center, about, their trips and when it's late and things like that. So it kind of takes the pressure off of them.
Paul, this is Pat again. I'm sorry. I got interrupted a little bit there. So Mr. Blake, I missed your pearls of wisdom a little bit, but I think you were saying that the instructions would be coming from the Garmin device as opposed to the Ranger device.
That is correct.
Okay, good. So the Ranger device provides the software which drives the Garmin, or I'm not quite sure how that works.
No, sir. Two separate devices altogether using different technology. The Garmins are getting the information from the driver.
Uh-huh.
Put in the pick up and drop off addresses. The Rangers are providing the old-fashioned information we've always had on Metro Access trips. Customer name, ID number, pickup notes, drop-off notes, and other information like that.
I understand. Does the actual rail work? And now, will we be able to take the information that's in the Ranger and transfer that over to Garmin over time?
I don't see a solution at the moment to do that, because this is, again, they're separate. They're not connected in any way. There is no cellular piece in this. One of the things we're trying to do is not only provide accurate real-time traffic information for the benefit of our customers and the service in general, but we also wanted to save money, and going with a solution that didn't require highly expensive cellular connectivity.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Understand.
The way you did that, but without the cellular
Wi-Fi connectivity, right now there's no way to connect the two devices.
Right. I understand. Okay. And I get the money piece too. That I'm not happy with two separate technologies, but the functionality will be there to improve through the Garmin and GPS, and that's really what we want. Last question. Thank you for indulging me, Paul. As far as the what we're talking about now, I would like to look at it from an iOS perspective. That would be Safari, of course, and VoiceOver that would be used on my iPhone. So it would be interesting to see how that application works on the iPhone.
Yes, sir. We'll sign you up as well.
Good. And what's the name of the application going to be? I like the Where's My Ride title, by the way.
Well, right now we're calling it Find a Ride.
I like Where's My Ride.
I understand, but there may be some trademarks and other things, right? You need to just check.
All right.
On.
So right,
can now, we ask? Can we have ask Mr. Blake? Whatever.
No. Well, so we got other hands up that need to get to, Pat.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. So, away from me.
All right, okay,
next,
sir.
So next is going to be Phil, followed by, actually, we haven't heard from Philippa. Philippa is going to be next, and then Phil.
I didn't have, hi, good afternoon, everyone. I didn't have much to say. I'm just volunteering.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Okay.
Now, do on there, we'll volunteer you. Now just keep in mind though, Philippa, in order for you to contribute to this, that means your trips that are generally going to Uber will have to stop and you'll be on Metro Access. So just keep that in mind, because that's
I just unvolunteered. Ignore that hand.
All right. Next, Phil.
Yes. For the interpreters, this is Phil Posner. Mr. Blake, I understood that the individual goes on their web browser to a specific site and puts in their number, and then they find out where their ride is. For those people, the customers, that are low vision or may not be computer champions, is it possible for them to call Where's My Ride and have the Where's My Ride people go to that website and put in their number and tell them where their ride really is? I know Terry Ann is smiling. But it's sort of a workaround for low vision people and people that don't have all the web talents that Mr. Semelford has.
Well, in fact, Phil, that's how this actually started. It's being used by folks in the call center as we speak to stop the 10 minutes, diatribe that customers have heard for generations, and now we're attempting to provide you with more accurate information. Now, to Terrian's credit, she wanted to share that news with you a month ago, but I kind of hesitated because I said, well, that's what we're supposed to be doing anyway. I don't know if the committee would be that excited, but once again, your question proves that Terrian was right and I was wrong. That's why she's the boss. But in fact, that is exactly what's happening. And then when the team gave me access to the information that the call center folks have, and I started using it whenever a customer would call me and I could use that information, well, the logical question was, well, if I could use it on my phone, how come Paul Semelford can't use it on his phone? And that's where the work is now going. And so this actually began, just as you said, let's have the call center really give our customers accurate information and not 10 minutes for everything. And then it has just grown wings from there. And we're trying to see, do we really have a solution that can go from a member of the staff to the everyday customer?
Perfect. Thank you. But again, Mr. Semelford is great, but low vision people like the Queen may prefer to have somebody tell her the truth using this equipment.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do. Absolutely.
All right. We got to move forward. We got three other topics. It's 5 o'clock. We're off the time on the agenda here. So next, Mr. Blake, it's with you on a update. Doris, I see your hand. Can you do it during public comment? I'll have you down so that we can move on. We have to move on. We got three more topics to get to. I'll put you up for public comment.
I hope I remember the topic. It was simply about how that I think that this needs to be tested out very intensively and in a less stressful kind of manner with people who have brain injuries and also have visual processing problems, because I know some of the consumers that I work with have real problems even with the current, you know, where's my ride and how they work with their cellular phones and iPhones. So they're the ones who are going to have the greatest problem with this. I'm betting my life on it. So,
all right. Well, thank you for your input. We must move on. Mr. Blake, please give an update about the new minivans.
Okay. We're still working on it. Nothing new has transpired. We haven't picked up any vans just yet. We're still trying to get 23 vans. I thought by the end of this month, that's probably not going to happen, but we're still actively trying to secure 23 minivans that we want you all to ride and hopefully enjoy. These will be new off the lot vehicles, sort of the direction we're trying to move the fleet to, so that the uncomfortable rides in the cargo vans, as Ms. Rush accurately described, will come to an end sooner rather than later. But there's no other update at the moment in terms of actual deliveries of vans just yet.
Okay. I see Ms. Bush's hand. What is your comment in relation to? Please go ahead.
I have a comment. I just want to be included for public comment.
Okay. I will. A new includer in public comment, please.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Phil?
Yes. Quick question. You said they're coming in off the lot, but will they go through an upfitting process before they actually get tested out?
Yes. So, yes, our vehicles, the new off-the-lot vehicles, like the sedans, all go through upfitting that's necessary to make the vehicles ready for revenue public transportation service. But unlike the sedans, these vehicles, part of their upfitting will include a wheelchair ramp so that we convert these into wheelchair accessible vehicles in addition to the other equipment that was placed in the sedans for revenue service.
All right. Thank you so much. So Mr. Blake, Silver Line.
Well, this will be real quick because there has not yet been an absolute official start to the Silver Line. So the service area remains the same for now, but we could assure you that as soon as the Silver Line opens, there'll be Metro Access vehicles and Metro Access trips probably move to Uber and taxis going to and from the new Silver Line stations. On the fixed route side, I can tell you, we were going to bring it up at the next meeting, but we have placed an order for our very famous Braille flip maps that we always have for the rail system. So we'll have a number of those for customers who utilize Braille for their travel needs. But right now, Metro Access is ready and waiting for the official start of the Silver Line. And when it's open, we'll be running service up there.
So I have a side question to you as this relates, because I was going to do it at that time. So there are some locations that have a fixed route service with a bus on the, like, for instance, Fairfax County borderline. But because it has a Loudoun County address, I'm not able to physically get the vehicle to go there, even though it's across the street on the Loudoun County side, and there is a Fairfax County bus stop there. I was going to address that at that time so you can do it in one big, you know, technical swoop when you realign the service area. Can that be done now? If I sent you an email, no. Give you a description?
Well, we can look at it, but no, if the service right now is in Loudoun County, that right now today is outside of the service area.
Okay, even so though that
would not.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that will not change until Loudoun County is officially part of the metro service area, and that I don't believe happens until the Silver Line Phase 2 opens.
Okay, because it's just with one particular shopping area location that is literally across the street, and it does have that Fairfax County connector bus, but it has a Loudoun County address, so that won't change until this is done. So I have to do it at that time. Okay, got it.
Chair Samuel.
And I see hands. Who do I have?
Phil Posner and Sandy Newsom.
We'll go with Sandy and then Phil and then Doris.
Hi, this is Sandy. I just want to mention to Christian Blake that the flip maps, the Braille flip maps for Metro are a lifesaver for me. I don't read Braille. I'm low vision. Those maps are terrific. If it would save Metro money printing some for low vision without the Braille bumps, you could do that because low vision people don't need the Braille bumps, but we can use those maps a lot. Okay, just a comment.
I think that's a great idea because we've always had to try to husband our, if you will, our Braille flip maps because a lot of people enjoyed them as like a souvenir when we really just need to hold them for people who really need them. But having a flip map with that larger print and the size, I think you've touched on something, and I'll probably talk to my assistant Keanu Hill, who's in charge of that project, and ask him to follow up with the company, and let's probably procure some of those. That's a great idea.
So just to follow up, the fold out paper maps are very awkward to use. You know, those are recommended for low vision people, but they're just so awkward to use. I go to the Braille flip map.
I understand. It's like a jigsaw puzzle sometimes. Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much, Sandy. Phil, followed by Doris.
Yes, this is just a planning question. When it opens up, I think popular rides are going to be to the airport and also to the football facilities, should they open up. And the question is, if we're limiting the distance from the Silver Line, are we taking into account the distance from the Silver Line or any of the Loudoun County bus routes, being able to get to the different hotels in the region of the Dulles Airport, or even different areas in the Dulles Airport area? Like the Udvar Hazy facility, the Air and Space Museum.
Oh.
And so I think the question is, you know, similar to what Paul asked, once Loudoun County opens up, I think it's really important to take a look at what the bus routes are, what the Silver Line is going to be, and then also look at the sites that people might want to go to that are using the airport or going to sporting events.
So Phil, I will correct you right now. You can take Metro Access to the, because I've done it three times, to that the Air and Space Museum, because it sits on a St. Chantilly address right at the border. So it's still within Fairfax County.
But it's interesting, there is a shuttle bus that goes from the Silver Line to that facility. So if there's a shuttle bus that goes from the Silver Line to that facility, does that put it outside Metro Access?
Well, like I said,
who runs the shuttle bus?
Well, I'm just saying Metro Access, because I've done three trips, does go directly there because it's still a Fairfax County address.
But also, let me just add, still presents a very, very good question. It's a key question. Shuttle bus at this point does not appear to be considered local transit. So the answer mm-hmm. would be on local transit. So let's take it off of just that particular site and just talk in general. Right now, Metro is going to be providing, as Phil and Dr. Posner kind of indicated, we're going to be providing service within 3/4 of a mile of the Silver Line stations only. Now, if there's an agreement upon Metro Access becoming part of the, Loudoun County becoming part of the Metro Access official area paratransit, that will change. But as we open up the Silver Line Phase 2, Loudoun County is managing its own paratransit for its own residents, and therefore Metro Access is providing paratransit for the Metro affiliated service, which is Metro Rail.
One addition to that is hopefully Loudoun County will permit visitors from the rest of the DMV to have access to the Loudoun County paratransit system while they're there for 90 days during the year, or whatever formula they use.
That is correct. So that's why I wanted to just be clear the difference between Metro Access service in Loudoun County and Loudoun County service. And yes, Loudoun County has a responsibility under the ADA to also provide service for visitors for its fixed route equivalent paratransit as well.
Thank you.
All right, Doris, I will take you, and then we're going on to our next topic.
Okay, I would like to suggest perhaps, Mr. Blake, that and or whoever, that we get together a group of Loudoun County residents, Loudoners, and see where they need to go, especially from the Ashburn station. Which would be their end point to go out and connect with the Loudoun transit system. And there are some Loudoun buses that are already operating, as you know, out of the Dulles Airport, as well as Reston. No, the Wheelie Station is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And, for the people who are living out there, this is important to figure out. For example, would they be able to get, whether it's a Loudoun bus or whether it's a Metro bus or whatever, from the gateway or from Dulles Airport to go to that Dulles Town Center where there's a whole Loudoun bus hub, as well as the Inova Hospital in Loudoun, which is where a lot of the Loudoun buses go and connect to the main bus hub in Leesburg, which gets you to the western part of Loudoun and goes around in all the neighborhoods. And I think if you could get together some kind of focus group, and ECNV would surely be glad to help you do outreach for that, because I've ridden out there a lot, and there's some natural stops that whether it's with inside the 3/4 of a mile radius of the station or whether it's just a little further out, that would be helpful to kind of make a better connection to the Loudoun service. And I okay. also will say that I agree with the issue of the people riding in the border and have to get off a block over or whatever to get to a Loudoun bus, because that's always been a problem, and crossing the street out there is crossing a highway. So the other thought is perhaps WMATA might want to think about some kind of grant like we had for travel training, but with cross-border transportation through either,
bus and rail
district for planning district aid.
All right, Doris.
Have some kind of pilot out there to cross the border.
All right. Thank you, Doris.
Thank you.
So, and let me just respond real quick. Doris brings up an excellent point. And I hear the recommendation. I'm not pushing back, but I think what we're talking about here is, and you've heard us say this for different situations. Right now, my understanding is that the only service, the only metro service that's going to be in Loudoun County at the moment will be metro rail service at the 5 stations. So if you're talking about more connection and more service, that conversation perhaps needs to start with the local government, who would have to be willing to pay for the additional metro service. So right now, if the Silver Line opened today, Metro Access will be providing trips out there, but only within 3/4 of a mile of the new stations, not connectivity further out in that sort of situation in terms of complementary service to Loudoun County related transit services. So we just want to be clear about.
But 2 are in Loudoun. 2 of the 5 are in Loudoun, right?
They're in Loudoun. No, that's my point. In those stations, 3/4 of a mile around the stations will be the Metro Access service limitation. Any Loudoun County local transit, that's the responsibility of Loudoun County Transit. If folks are looking for more metro service out there, i.e. metro bus, that conversation has to begin, I believe, at the local county level so that they can agree to pay for the metro bus service that would be out there.
All right. Well,
that's all. I'm just...
All right, Phil, let me get to the next topic. Can I put
Let me give one quick question. Right. I would recommend that the committee invite Mr. Letourneau to come talk to them, since not only is he a WMATA board member, he is also a member of Loudoun County government.
That's right.
And he might be a very interesting guest to discuss this issue.
All right. Thank you. All right. So the next and last topic we're going to discuss that I'm bringing up is, and I'm referring to the customer guide is, well, let me describe the situation. Let me do this carefully. So I know in the customer guide, it does reference several times that the driver will not wait on location with a customer once they're dropped off to the destination. But there was a situation with me where, I made an appointment time for 8:15 one morning to get to work, and they had already had the customer on board that's going to, this particular adult care facility, programming. And so when we arrived there, the facility doesn't open until 8:30. And there was another Metro Access vehicle with another customer there, sitting there. So, I got there roughly around 7:50 and was still waiting another 15 going to 20 minutes. So, and they were told these are customers, they cannot leave, leave for obvious reasons, for obviously safety reasons. So it was my understanding in the past, because staff did come to this meeting in person and stated when they were dealing with issues with this, Mr. Blake, is they would have worked with the agencies to find other customers who are living close by and going to the same place and try to group them together in trips so that they can get them to the location when it's open so they can be received by the staff and not have to wait. Because okay, now you so create, because one thing you have customers that are coming to say, oh, I have to get, you know, I'm at my location too early, but obviously the driver can't wait and have to move on because they can't stay. But now you have two drivers sitting there and they're sitting and have to wait until possibly when they open at 8:30 to drop them off.
Okay, no, you raised a great question. I'm glad you sent it this morning. So let's talk about a couple of things. Let's talk about your trip specifically, and let's talk about policy of a shared ride public transit in general. Mm-hmm. Your trip, we failed on your trip for two reasons. One, you had an appointment time of 8:15 and we didn't meet that time. And two, you had an onboard time of 31 minutes and we had you on board 37 minutes. So that was a failure on our part, and I'm not even going to try to dress that up. Those two things were wrong, and we should have done that. And that could have happened, rather it was the scenario you're talking about or just a bad day and a bad trip. I mean, it could have just been late and could have had you on board too long. Both of those things we don't want to happen, shouldn't happen. Now, if I were in the call center, and I'm not all the time, or at least let's say you would have called me, and I'm not encouraging that. You know, we're trying to.
No, I try to do it in the most rare of cases. If there's an extreme situation, I try to only.
But but if you would have called me, I would have called the call center, especially if you would have gave me the details that there were two vehicles there, same location, same circumstance. I don't think it's rocket science to ask, well, the trip has been arrived.
Because you had one with that was empty, that only had the client for that facility, and then me with the client for that facility. And then I remember in the past explicitly staff coming to talk to us and said, and those type of situations to try to minimize it is to group these people. They know they're going, they know what time it opens, that type of thing.
Let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay,
you didn't jump to the policy. Let's stick with your trip for a minute.
Okay.
Just so I could just share with the customer. Again, if you would have called me and I would have heard the details that there were two vehicles with the same situation, I clearly would have just said, trip has been arrived. If it hasn't been arrived, arrive it. And make a note that we're transferring one customer to the other vehicle while we exercise the DNL, do not leave policy. And wait, and therefore transport the other customer who is sharing a ride. Seems like an easy solution to me. I'm not sure what happened here. We can go back and look at it and find out. But the point is, on your particular trip, we failed because we didn't meet the appointment time and we had you on board the vehicle 6 minutes too long. Now, so on that, we apologize, and you know, I'm going to continue to press the call center and dispatch in particular to just continue to do a better job, and let's be aggressive and think and make rational decisions. But now let's get to policy, because you brought up some important policy, but I want you to be very clear, because I've shared this with other customers, because other customers have been calling me about I had to wait 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes while they brought a customer downstairs. Yes, our policy, Mr. Chairman, is that paratransit drivers are not PCA. They should not be put in a position where they have to stop providing public transportation to provide sitting services while we wait till an official handoff. When we find cases like that, we speak with the stakeholders of the customer, both the drop-off as well as their home stakeholders,
to figure out why there was a disconnect in terms of the scheduling and the timing, and we make recommendations. But, and you said the other policies that you raised, and again, these were all good points. So that's how we handle that. We speak with the shareholders, the stakeholders, and yeah, we don't want to do that. You provide door to door. We don't want to wait, but we will in certain cases. Customers who need PCAs at times will be encouraged or, you know, strongly encouraged to use them. And the, again, the driver assistance that you talked about. Mm-hmm. But here's where I need you, and this is what I say to customers all the time. If the LCC had done what I said to do, even if you sat there with the driver for 20 minutes, if we would have transported you to your drop-off before 8:15 and within 31 minutes or less, you may have been frustrated sitting there for 20 minutes, but if we met all the other criteria, that is still a good trip.
I understood that. It was just that, you know, that element. Because also other people are like, well, the other piece I want you to address is people are going to be like, well, they dropped me off early and they don't stay, but you're staying for this.
Well, you're a customer. If we drop you off and you haven't designated to us that you're a customer who needs that transfer from the Metro Access driver to a person at the building you're going to, then yes, we may drop you off before the building opens because you demonstrate or you express that you're independent enough to wait on your own. If you are a customer who needs a handoff, you will be placed mm-hmm. on our do not leave list like other customers in that situation as well. But if we get to a situation where we're constantly having to wait because there's a disconnect, then either we got to change your pickup time or do other things to make sure that your need to be transferred does not interrupt public transit service.
Okay.
So in this case, again, on your trip, we failed. And for that, we apologize and we got to just keep doing better. You know, I don't use the word apologize too much, but in this case, we were wrong. But on the policy side, they're going to be, because I always say to customers, when you get on a train, you stop at various stops. Now, the stops are like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Paratransit, the stops are naturally much longer, and some can be extremely long. Shouldn't be, but they could be. But as long as your time on the vehicle is equal to or less than the fixed route equivalent time, it's successful. We just got to keep that in mind. That waiting for other customers is part of your onboard time.
Okay, so that's even with them already on the vehicle to be dropped off.
Yes, there's a customer on board the vehicle. That customer's trip is separate and distinct from your onboard time. We calculate your onboard time based on how long you're on the vehicle, not how long the other customer's on the vehicle. We have a separate calculation for their onboard time.
Okay, so what customer's going to come back is, I'm just saying, a customer legitimately can come back and say, hey, well, yes, that is true, but they point out in the policy, Why are we waiting when the driver's not supposed to wait and like you said, independence. I'm just putting out the arguments where customers will come to the meetings like, I'm dropped off too early, the building ain't open, it's not safe for me, you know, I'm visually impaired, and this has happened at prior meetings.
And they
make that clear. I'm just being double advocate. That's all. I understand the safety issue of this situation. I don't dispute.
You're making great points. Any customer who tells us that we're dropping them off too early, management needs to hear about it so that we can work with them in terms of the mm-hmm. schedule and time they're being picked up. Part of the challenge is we're scheduling under regular operations, but because of safety and concerns that the AAC and others have expressed, we're still less than half of our trips are shared rides.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, that's where in some cases, but this was happening obviously before the pandemic. But
yeah.
If your situation is you do not, it's not that you have an intellectual disability, even if you don't even have a visual disability, you're just older and you're afraid of the neighborhood, you don't want to be left alone, let's talk about it. Let's find a schedule, okay, or perhaps even find an alternative solution for your transportation. That's part of what we're trying to do with the system. We're trying to give everybody the accommodation they need. And sometimes that accommodation may not be on Metro Access if it means the time of your building opening or closing.
Okay. Any questions from Mr. Blake on this topic?
Chair Zamaford, this is Anu. I do not see anyone else's hand up at this point.
Okay. Actually, this is Sandy. Sandy, I unmuted faster than getting my hand up. So how many categories of riders are there? When I book a Metro Access ride, I say I'm white cane mobile, independently mobile. Do you have customers that are designated as DNL, do not leave? And how is this determined for the Metro Access drivers to know what to do with their customers when they drop them off?
Well, that's a great question. So DNL, do not leave, is a designation that the customer themselves or generally a stakeholder affiliated or related to the customer tells us. So they'll say that my son, my nephew, Chris Blake, who's a Metro Access passenger, cannot be left alone because of his intellectual disability. Please do not leave him alone. I mean, it's that he'll be transferred. You must hand him off to somebody at the facility. The customer lets us know that. If Ms. Sandy says, I use a white cane, I have low vision, the area I'm going to is rather, you know, on a daily basis is rather seedy and unsafe. I can't be dropped off before 8:30 a.m. when the doors open. Then we need to look at your schedule, your pickup time, and the amount of time it would take to pick you up and drop you off, and work to try to create a schedule for you, preferably a subscription schedule for you, that we can get you to your destination around the time you will feel safe. But that's different than DNL. DNL is a specific designation that says customer A needs to go from the Metro Access driver to somebody.
Okay.
And if that somebody isn't there, you need to wait on them. But if that becomes a problem, then we could strongly encourage that that customer be transported only with the assistance of a PCA.
All right.
Chair Samuelford, this is Anu.
Yes. Ms. Who do we see? Who do we have? Ms. Rush. Go ahead.
And then I see Doris has her hand up. Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Okay, what Paul is trying to say, I think, is that dialysis patients or patients going, our clients, they leave the dialysis person out there and the center doesn't open to 8:30. But the our mm-hmm. client, their center doesn't open, say, to 8:30, and they're not going to leave that person for safety reasons. And he's trying to say, how can we resolve it so that no one, so everybody gets equal treatment?
Yes.
Is that what you're trying to say, Paul?
Yes.
Everyone does get equal treatment, because if we find a case where we're having a consistent situation where there is no one to hand off to the customer, the
hand the customer off to, because either the facility isn't open or the person just isn't there when we go back home, for example. That's where management steps in and says this person's service could be interrupted if that person is not traveling with the PCA, because now you're causing an impact on the services of other customers. People going to dialysis, if your dialysis doesn't open till 8:30 and you do not feel safe being left alone prior to the opening, then what we have to do, if you feel that you can't get there until it absolutely opens, we have to then adjust your schedule. But your schedule may mean you get there a little after 8:30. So I don't think there's a two-pronged service here. What we're doing is addressing disabilities. And as we address the disability, if the disability begins to impact public transit fixed route equivalent service, as a management team, as an oversight team, we then take steps to ensure that there's no longer that impact.
All right, I see Vanessa's hand. I'm going to take her, and then Doris, and then I want to get the public comment, because I know there's a few people on the back burner for that. So Vanessa, then Doris, and then we're going to take public comment after that. Go ahead, Vanessa. Can you hear me, Vanessa?
This is Anu. Vanessa, you're on mute. If you're speaking, you need to unmute yourself. Okay, perhaps she's having some trouble.
All right, this is what I'm going to do. If Doris, you're the last hand, I'm going to make you the first person for public comment, because I want to move the public comment, and I'll just put Vanessa on public comment.
Okay. Chair Samalfour?
Yes.
This is Anu. We do have a member of the public who would like to make public
comment. Then I will let that person go first. Yes. And then Doris, then Darnese, I believe.
Yes.
And Vanessa, if she's able to speak. So go ahead, Betty.
That was not Betty. Ansel Torres.
Oh, Ansel Torres. I'm sorry. I saw that open. I saw the mic on.
I understand.
I'm so sorry. No Ansel Torres, but if that person wants to speak as part of public comment, Manu can add that person to the list.
Sure.
Go ahead, Ansel.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead. 3
yes.
minutes.
Yes. Good afternoon. I am hearing about this new Metro Access tracking system. Where's my ride? This is something that I have been agitating for a while, and I'd like very much to volunteer to participate in the service, the program for 2 weeks. I really think that the Abilities Ride Uber service is fantastic and it works very well, but I am definitely willing to give up the convenience of the Uber service to have my rides transferred, just so that I can test the tracking, because I think that's a really critical and important service to have, and to have it work as well. And I look forward to the opportunity to make my comments.
I'm sure Mr. Blake I'm going to let Mrs. Blake speak for himself, be happy to assist in that endeavor.
No, absolutely. We're going to add the Taurus to the pilot, and we appreciate that. Obviously, he was one, along with some others in the low vision, visual disability community, who helped craft our strategy around the Uber communication and how we ended up relying more on browser-based service than specific apps. So we certainly look forward to his feedback. And those of many different disabilities, but especially, of course, the visual disabilities in this particular regard. So as he recognized, and he said it before I could, once we sign you up, it probably, as soon as we started, though, your Uber trips will stop for a little while, but that'll give you a chance to have your trips on Metro Access and you can give us feedback about the app as well as any other aspects of the service.
All right, but two weeks though. That's what I'm setting up for.
Not forever, right? Okay.
All right. Okay. So we got still public comment. We got 20 minutes. So
well, but hold on. Wait.
Oh, okay. Oh, you still got more.
That was just me volunteering.
Oh, okay. What's your comment?
All right. I have a few other issues I want to address. There was a talk at one time about the fare being double the disabled fare as opposed to double the regular fare. Mr. Blake, if you can explain to me at some point when I'm done with my questions here, because I know I have the 3 minutes. If you can explain to me why it is we're not using double the disabled fixed route fare as opposed to what we're using now. I don't think it was thoroughly explained at the time that I heard it anyway, or at least I didn't quite get it. Now, budget is coming up soon. Budget season is in the air. I am pleading for a line item for the abilities ride to be included in the budget this year. I think for transparency's sake, I think it is very, very, very important. So I am lobbying for that here this afternoon. And I have a question about surpluses in the budget. What happens to funds in the budget that are not used in a given year? I'd be very curious to hear the answer on that one. And do we or can we get a count of or an amount, a statement of how much the surplus was in a given year, if there was any surplus? Visited Williamsburg on a recent vacation trip and used the paratransit service there. They had a will call option. I know you essentially have that with the abilities ride, and you sort of have that partially with the regular Metro Access service, but I don't think it's there fully. Is there some way that we can include the will call option? And if you're not sure what that means, I can explain it further, but I think I'm out of time. Thanks.
Okay, three good questions. Let's start first, twice the senior fare versus twice the fastest fixed route fare. That's just simply what the board adopted many years ago. It's part of our fare policy, and it just coincides with the language in the Americans with Disabilities Act under paratransit. Chairman Posner has brought the idea of twice the senior fare to past and present general managers, as well as before the board during reports. And that's all I can say at this point. So it's been mentioned, it's been stated on more than one occasion. And if that's the will of the committee or just individuals, the idea is to ask for what you want, and then we'll see what happens. But I know it's been brought up, but in terms of the actual fare policy, it's been Metro's policy for years to follow the strict language of the ADA when it comes to fares, and that's twice the fastest fixed route equivalent fare.
You said senior fare, but there is, I mean, the services I use, they have, it's a disabled fare. It's not a senior fare.
Or disabled.
Now, keep in mind, we got four other people who need to speak, and it is 5:44. So I
Mr. Chair, can I just give a quick update?
Hold on. We have four other people. They're still on public comment. So we need to get through this.
All right, can Mr. Blake
ask to Mr.
Hold on, only one person at a time because we have interpreters.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd like Mr. Blake to finish off the questions that I had. That would be great.
Yeah, this would finish it off, Mr. Torres. I commend you to go forward with your comment because two of the new board members Ms. Klein and Ms. Morris have both brought up that same question, and they are supportive of your point. And so please continue to bring it up. It is legal under the ADA not to do it, because the ADA says that you don't have to do that if it's a special discount that's put on for those people. But there are two current board members that have asked that question, and I think they would be supportive. So please continue to go forward with it.
So then secondly, the budget surplus, well, Metro Access doesn't operate in a vacuum, so we don't have a quote unquote surplus. If there's any surplus, if you want to use, and I'm using your language, so I want to just be clear on that. If there's any surplus, it's part of the overall Metro budget to cover the cost of providing public transportation service. I don't believe Metro, and I'm talking about the big M, has had a surplus in a number of years. We've had to rely on federal funding to provide the services that customers are accustomed to, Metro Access, bus and rail service. So I don't believe you're going to find any report or anything, but, you know, that's a fair question to ask. If you had a surplus, what do we do with it? I would leave that to the budget team. I would suspect that if there was a surplus, that would either just simply reduce future invoices to the jurisdictions or just be returned to the jurisdictions. But again, our dependence on federal funding leads me to believe there's been no surplus in the last several years. And then the service that you were mentioning, is it fair to describe it as same day on demand service that you were experiencing, or you have another, or is it something different than that?
No, this has to do with basically when you make your reservation, and you have to do it the day before. It's not same day. You have to tell them you want these two rides and you want them to be will call, because I don't know when I'm going to leave and I don't know when I'm going to have to come back. So I'll just I'll just call you both times when you're ready, when I'm ready.
Yeah. So right now, as the committee has heard and you've heard as well, perhaps, let me just not. What we're doing now, because I've been saying we want to be in the accommodation business. Like you said, Abilities Ride is essentially that, especially for those of you using Uber. We book the trip based on the time you want to be picked up, but it's up to you to click the link when the vehicle is going to come. So Abilities Ride is essentially that. But on the paratransit side, what we've been saying is if you want to be picked up earlier or later, you call us and let us know, and if we can, we will accommodate your change in time. So it's not an absolute official policy for every trip, but right now we're allowing customers to call the call center when they can get through, I shouldn't say it, but call the call center and request an adjustment to your pickup time. And if we are able to accommodate you, we're very happy to do so.
Line item for Abilities Ride.
All right. So we need to move on. We got four other people.
We'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about that next week. Next
All
month.
Right. All right. Thank you. So next is, who is guest four?
So this is Anu, Chair Samford. We do have somebody on the phone with last four numbers 3058. Can you please identify yourself?
Yes. Hi, I know. This is Vanessa. I'm sorry. I had to dial in because for some reason it was not allowing me to unmute myself on the Zoom. So I am on my phone. So thank you.
Go ahead, guess more. Vanessa, and then followed by Darnese, yes. And then Doris.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to back up to Mr. Blake's when we were discussing the DNL. So I wanted to give another scenario to see how Mr. Blake or how Metro would react to the customer once they got to their destination too early and they refused to get off the van. how would you help that situation because they were too early?
Good question. And what would happen is we would obviously not kick you off the vehicle. What we would do is have the driver call the call center, inform the call center of the situation. You feel you got there too early, you don't feel safe, we will have to accommodate you. Now, what would happen, that one time, probably let it go, maybe look at the scheduling, figure out how did you get there too early, what was the situation? Well, two customers canceled that day, so you end up having a direct trip instead of ride. We can make that adjustment because of the fact is, had you gotten there, had we had not had the two cancellations, you wouldn't have been there to begin with.
Right.
Would that be something I or Ms. Williams Hall then call you about and say, hey, you need to watch this? No, we'll probably just let that one go and the driver will be there, but he or she has to report it and we'll see. If this is a situation though, however, where you had your shared ride, you got there at the right amount of time, but the building opens at 8:30 and we got you there at 8:15 and you don't feel safe there for 15 minutes, and this happens on a daily basis, then we'll probably have to have a conversation with you about either changing your pickup time or asking you to travel with the PCA.
Okay.
But that's
all right.
But every case is really a case-by-case basis, and it's not really just the customer. We have to look at the circumstances that resulted in you arriving way too early to begin with. What is the situation there? And quite frankly, if there were two customers who canceled, that's okay. And if the driver is parked safely and you're waiting, that's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, we can make adjustments. We're in the accommodation business.
All right.
But once you get off the van, all deals are off the table.
Essentially, yes. Once you get off the van, you are an independent person who just happens to have a disability and you use public transportation to travel from point A to point B. You don't have a do not leave designation. So once you're off the van and we escort you to the door, you know, it's have a great day and it was our pleasure transporting you.
Okay.
All right. Darnice, you're next. And then Doris.
Okay. Mine is, it's fortunate that we're talking about these cases because it's too, okay. I'm calling about two trips. One was October 13th. One was on October 13th, I had a doctor's appointment. My pickup, my return was between 3 and 3:30. I called them at about 2 o'clock to let them know that I would not be ready at that time and that I needed a later return because I wound up having two doctor's appointments at test. So the time that they gave me, all they could give me was 5:15 to 5:45 when I had asked for 4 to 4:30, but they said it wasn't available. So they gave me 5:15 to 5:45. I took that and waited, and they were late, and they came at 6 o'clock. I don't want any response about that. And the next trip was on Saturday, October 15th. My pickup was from 10:15 to 10:45. I was going to Hyattsville. When I got on the vehicle was on time. The driver told me that she had another pickup and drop off before my destination. I said, okay, fine. So then when we were driving around 10:50, she pulled over and said that she needed to wait 20 minutes because she was real early. So I said, well, I guess I don't really have a choice. And because it was a personal appointment, so it wasn't, you know, a medical appointment or anything like that. So at 11:35, then she pulled over at 10:50. At 11:35, she went to pick up the person, and we were in the Palmer Park, Maryland area, where she had waited all that time. And then I got my drop off. I mean, she picked them up. They stayed on a vehicle less than 10 minutes because they went to a shopping center that was nearby. And then I was taken to my destination, which was, I got there by 12 o'clock. So that's all I want to say. And Mr. Blake can respond later on to me. He can go ahead and take Doris because time is short.
We're gonna take Doris next, and then Mr. Blake can respond to both because we got 5 minutes. Go ahead, Doris.
Go ahead.
All right, Doris, you got. Let's make it 2 minutes because we know Mr. Blake's going to need the last three to respond to both.
Well, Paul, basically, I was going to say I pass, but I do want to say that the whole discussion regarding do not leave and all of that is really a discussion about the difference, the comparability of Metro Access to fixed route, because if you take a trip on fixed route, mm-hmm. you may have to schedule to get there a half an hour early before wherever you're going is opening, and you have to figure out what you do, and many people who do that end up needing to bring a personal assistant along. So I understand the point that Mr. Blake has made. I also do want to reiterate that I think it's very important when the Silver Line opens that that there be whatever, Metro Access vehicle or whatever it is, to take you to a hub for Loudoun Transit. What I mean is something that's in Ashburn that or that environ that's close enough to the station to be within the rules to get you to where you can get a Loudoun paratransit or transit bus. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Mr. Blake, you can respond, and then we will call the meeting an end.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Just real quick to Ms. Bush's point, a couple of things. On the first trip, as I was pointing out to Mr. Torres, you called, wanted a different time, and we accommodated. Now, unfortunately, the accommodated trip was late. We'd have to look into why that is. But that does show that we're in the accommodation business, and if you need to be accommodated, we do our very best to say, yes, we'll change your time. No penalties, no issues whatsoever. Now we just got to make sure every trip, we try to be 100% on time. That's our goal for sure. So we can investigate why that trip, why the revised trip was late, and look at where we may have dropped the ball or what may have happened. On the second one, you're right. Now, see, again, this goes back to the point we had with the conversation we had with Chairman Summerford earlier. Yes, the driver said to you that she has to wait 20 minutes. Your trip was your onboard time was a part of that. I would go back and look. Were you on board within, less than or equal to the fixed route equivalent time? If the answer is yes, then that's good, even though you had to wait there 20 minutes. Were you picked up on time? You did say yes to that. Now, but this then goes to the other question. Because what if the driver didn't wait for you for 20 minutes, we move the trip, and then take you to your destination? Now, if this were in the middle of the day, it probably is not a problem. But what if that was very early in the morning, and then we drop you off before your building opens? Now, you may be okay with that, you may not. But this is the type of thinking, if you will, our computer and our team, our scheduling team, has to go through each day, accommodating each customer every day with a new schedule. I love my colleagues in Bus and Rail, but they have a fixed route schedule. Every day, we're building a brand new schedule for thousands of trips each and every day, totally different. No 2 days are ever the same. So I know I will have my team look into this and allow both of your trip experiences to be part of our report next month in terms of customer service, just to see what can we learn from it. But yes, we do accommodate. Sometimes we're late, unfortunately. And yes, there may be times your wait at a stop may be long, but it's part of your overall onboard time. And as long as we don't keep you on there too long, according to the ADA, then yes, we have done our job, even if sitting there is rather less than desirable, I have to put it that way. And on that, Mr. Chairman, because of the time, I make a motion. No, I'm not going to
yes,
make a
so
but make- my answer
to this. This is Darnie. So I just wanted to say thank you, because I was on that trip for like an hour and 45 minutes, but I understand exactly what you said. All right. That's what I wanted to let you know.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you. We need to go back. My team and I will go back and see if that hour and 45 minutes was within the ADA parameters or was it too long? And if it was too long, like I said with Paul earlier, I will publicly apologize for that, because that's not our goal and that's not what we're supposed to do.
All right. We need to adjourn. Can I make a motion to adjourn? It's 6 o'clock.
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. All right. Bye.
Bye.
As I get ready for my trip to get home from work.
Well, before you get off, let me, well, no, I'll do.